Hello, friends. Welcome to Thank Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we continue in our study of the New Testament book of 1 John. We're thinking about 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, but today we'll focus just on verses 18 and 19. So I'll read those two verses, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Last time we thought about the times we are now living in as being the last hour. We thought about Antichrist being against Christ, and we thought about the false teaching of Docetism, that teaching that said that Christ only appeared to have a physical body. Today we want to look a little more closely at who John is referring to when he uses the word Antichrist. In verse 18, the Apostle John writes this, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." So John uses the word Antichrist twice in verse 18, and then he goes on to help us identify a few characteristics of those who are against Christ. Antichrists like to enter the church and mingle with true believers. They try to destroy the church by spreading lies, being deceptive, and dividing the fellowship of believers. These little agents of Satan can be difficult to spot, but John tips us off to three similarities that they all share. First, they depart from the fellowship of believers. In verse 19, John writes this, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us." These Antichrist disruptors enter the church and they work to destroy it, and their preferred strategy is to plant false teaching and lies within the fellowship. Eventually, most of these little Antichrists leave, leaving a path of spiritual disruption, and they inevitably take some of the weak-minded with them. Now, we have to be careful here. God uses the departure of false teachers and their followers as a way of purifying the church. The last phrase of verse 19 says, "But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us." So, in the mind of John, it's not a bad thing that these false professors of the faith left the fellowship. It's not a bad thing because they were not true believers in the first place. This departure is sometimes a painful process, but it has a purifying effect on the church. But, as I say, we have to be careful. We do need to be cautious of anyone who breaks from the true church to form a new group with a new theology. In actual practice, though, there is no new theology. As Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. Often what is presented as some new, insightful teaching is just simply a modernized, repackaged version of a very old heretical teaching. But here's where we need to be careful. John's words here do not apply to people who get disgruntled in one evangelical church and leave to form or join another evangelical church. True, the practice can be hurtful, regrettable, and sad, but it's wrong to label those who left as heretics, as false believers, unless they have also abandoned the core teachings of the Christian faith. Heretics will eventually separate themselves from true Christians because, on the one hand, they are very zealous for their false teaching. Yet, on the other hand, true Christians are bold and determined to hold firm to the essential Christian teachings, essential teachings that define the Christian faith, essential teachings that have defined the faith for centuries. False teachers, heretics, and their followers will deviate from orthodox Christian doctrine on major issues. They claim that they have the truth and that others do not have it, or they claim that they see new mystical insights that others do not see. And, for the sake of their supposed new truth, they set aside biblical authority and they radically twist the Bible's true meaning. Fundamentally, they don't teach orthodox biblical truth. Predictably, they try to recruit others from within the church to join them in their new mysticism. So John's words are helpful in preparing us for the reality that there will be times when false teachers and their faithful followers will leave the true church, and that's a purifying, good thing. Yet we also have to be aware that sometimes sincere Christians will need to agree to disagree and go ahead and part company. They both will continue in their work of advancing God's kingdom, yet they will do it in different ways. But neither will compromise on doctrinal issues that are at the core of the Christian faith. Now, this has very real application for the 21st century. For example, in recent years, within the past 10 years, there was an upheaval in the church in America when a popular pastor came out with his denial of the existence of hell. That statement sent his local church and Orthodox believers in all places into a tailspin. Many articles have been written and many speeches have been made defending the biblical doctrine of hell. The existence of hell was clearly taught by Jesus and the apostles, and it is a foundational piece of the Christian faith. A denial of it brings along many kinds of theological problems. That pastor went out from his local church, but that was not a bad thing for the spiritual health of that local body. Another example would be the denial that Jesus rose bodily from the grave. Of course, this is a denial of the central doctrine of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Christ. But that denial is alive and well today in some academic institutions and among some who very boldly claim to be Christians. When asked, these false teachers will speak of their belief in the resurrection. What they don't say is that they're referring to a spiritual resurrection. When pressed, if they're asked at all, they'll deny the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus. And of course, this too is a major problem. It's just as well that these false teachers and their loyal adherents depart from the church. It's not a bad thing for the church at large to be purified with their departure. Another example would be the denial that Jesus is fully divine, the denial that Jesus is God in all ways. Of course, as you know, this heresy is 2,000 years old, but it's alive and well in America today. In referring to Jesus, the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:19 wrote the following, "For in him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell." An essential tenet of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ is Almighty God in human flesh. Jesus is not merely one of many lesser gods. Jesus is not merely God of this galaxy. Jesus is not merely God of this world alone. Jesus is holy and fully divine. Jesus Christ has all the attributes of God, and he is not in some way less in his divine nature than God the Father. Now, a very popular religious system in the United States says exactly that, that Jesus is a lesser God. In fact, this large religious group has a worldwide presence. They won't say it boldly and publicly. They're sneaky. But when pressed, that teaching is at the center of their doctrine. They'll insist that a person needs Jesus for salvation, but they will also teach, behind closed doors, that Jesus, as the Son of God, is a lesser being than God the Father. This is heretical and is not orthodox Christian teaching, and it does not conform with biblical theology. So, if this type of teaching surfaces within the true church, it's best that those false teachers and their followers move out from within the true church. The Apostle John said that, quote, "If they had been of us, they would have continued with us." John is saying that if the false teachers and their followers had actually possessed eternal life, then they would have continued to embrace and grow in sound apostolic truth. They would have remained. But since they did not continue in the fellowship, since they separated over their allegiance to their false doctrine, then they've shown that they never were truly born again. From time to time, God will allow false teaching to enter the church to purify it. Those who defect over unbiblical false doctrine will give clear evidence of their true character and unregenerate condition. So God, in his perfect wisdom, will use false teachers to draw away false believers from the church. God does this so that these false believers will not remain in the fellowship as harmful and corrupting influences. Next time, we'll continue taking a look at the characteristics of antichrists. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Just a reminder that if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area and if you don't have a home church, you're invited to join us on Sunday at Gate Tree Church in Danville. The location and service time can be found at gatetreechurch.org. Be sure to join us next time in Think Jesus Cafe as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.